counterbalanced hinges, and it clicked true.
What's going on?
He sat on one of the hexagonal tiles in the floor.
Company. Some guy in a lab coat and a matching set of SecMen. Get ready for another jump.
Doc leaned back against the armorglass wall and slid slowly into a seated position.
Oh, mercy. My head has already endured one bout of nausea. I do not think I could withstand another one of these soul-scrambling jaunts.
Don't ready yourself for transport just yet, Doc.
Mildred peered at the lack of activity from the array of silver discs mounted in the ceiling above.
We don't seem to be going anywhere.
The woman was right. None of the usual telltale prep signs were occurring. No mist, no wine, no glowing lights as the discs powered up.
Are you sure you shut the door, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm sure. Damn it. There must be an override outside the chamber.
A logical assumption, since the man outside seems to be aware of how these mystical conveyances operate.
Jack looked morose, one of his throwing knives already selected and waiting in his hand.
Look like we stay.
Looks that way.
Ryan took out the Sig Sauer from his side holster once more and hefted the solid weight of the blaster in his right hand. While getting to his feet, his injured shoulder from previous adventures gave him a quick tinge of discomfort, as if to remind him that he still wasn't up to full fighting strength.
Everybody on their toes. You too, Doc.
Gladly, sir. I would rather walk a country mile barefoot over broken glass than endure another Metran's jump at the moment.
Despite his bravado, Ryan noted that the older man looked shaky as he stood erect, bracing himself ever so slightly on his walking stick. Ryan opened the chamber door.
Back so soon?
Like we never left.
The white coat gestured to the twin SecMen.
As you can see, my friends here have lowered their weapons.
Good for them. I'm keeping mine level until I know the playing field. Tell them to keep the blasters down until we've all come out.
They have ears. Your request is going to be met.
One by one, Ryan's band of followers exited the gateway. Once Doc Tanner stepped gingerly off the bottom access step, the man who'd been patiently watching their progress held up his arms.
Greetings. I am Dr. Silas Jamevu.
Staring at the white coat, Doc felt his mind slip away. Dulce, New Mexico Redoubt, 1998. The interview room was a lounge, used for breaks by various members of the duty staff within the massive Dulce Redoubt when they didn't want to go to the full-service commissary, and as such, the furnishings were simple. Vending machines and a small coffee machine lined one of the windowless walls. Dr. Theophilus Tanner had been kept sedated during the move. He was unable to determine if he had been told the truth or was being subjected to yet another mind game, such as the one now underway.
I'm going to ask a battery of questions. Respond,
I don't think so.
What did you say?
I said no.
No?
Dr. Herman Wells looked across the table at the frowning man who'd uttered the single syllable.
No.
Tanner's blue eyes were flat in their sockets, like shards of gravel peeking out from beneath his brows.
I shall ask the questions for a change. I have endured enough of your inquiries. I have suffered through your physical tests. I have been kept in the dark long enough. I'm not an idiot, nor am I easily confused or baffled by these futuristic trappings.
I know. This is one of the reasons why you were chosen.
So I have heard. I am capable of comprehension. Ergo, it is time I received some answers of my own.
Wells pondered this, tapping his ballpoint pen against the front of his teeth absentmindedly. Then, much to Tanner's surprise, he nodded in agreement.
You're right, Dr. Tanner. Proceed.
Tanner folded his hands in front of him on the scuffed tabletop, covering a faded ring left in the plastic covering ages ago by a coffee cup.
So, ask away.
Tanner held up a hand for silence.
First, let us establish a few essential facts. I am Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner.
Yes.
And you...
Tanner pointed a bony finger at the corpulent figure seated across from him in a white lab coat, white shirt, black slacks, and garish green tie.
You are Herman Wells.
Correct. At least that's what it says on my birth certificate.
Such forms of identification can be easily faked.
That's the price we pay. You will have to take my word.
Tanner stood and crossed the room to the community coffee pot, pouring himself a foam cup of the steaming brew.
Coffee?
No, thanks.
Tanner returned to his chair and took a long pull from the cup before setting it down on the table, purposely placing it within the existing scorch mark. Wells watched silently, observing. While Tanner's back had been turned, the overweight man had taken out his pipe and now was busy tapping it against a glass ashtray on the tabletop, knocking out the previous bowl of tightly packed ashes. Waiting until Wells had finished and relit the pipe, filling the small lounge with a smell of burning cherry, Tanner asked his next question.
Married?
No, divorced. 6 years now.
Children?
None.
How tragic for you. I have a wife, Emily.
No, you don't.
And two children, a boy and a girl.
Both deceased.
We chose, Emily and I, chose their names. Their most unusual names. Special names. Rachel, after my wife's mother. Jolyon, for one of my own family members who died in battle during the war between the states.
Wells puffed on his pipe and sighed, consulting his notebook.
The names you give are correct, Doctor. However, they are names of the dead.
Tanner's placid facade collapsed. Wells suddenly found himself sitting across from a lion. His patient bared his fine white teeth, slamming his hands on the table and sending the half-full coffee cup and ashtray crashing to the floor.
I am Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner. I have a wife. I have two children. I am a teacher, a scholar, a lecturer. By God, I am halfway through writing a book. Non-fiction. The finest minds of my generation consult with me on a daily basis.
Not any longer.
Wells now stood, his own temper rising. His round face was reddening, and a sheen of sweat appeared on his brow.
You, sir, are a curiosity. A living science experiment. A man without a frame of reference or a shred of comprehension.
You are incorrect, sir. I comprehend all.
Tanner, you are fucking Rip Van Winkle. Get used to it.
And on that final pronouncement, Wells slammed closed the black notebook. Always with the damnable black notebook. Tanner lunged forward, both arms outstretched to their full length, his wrists extended well past the cuffs of his hospital dressing gown. His rail-thin body skated lightly across the slick tabletop and right at the dumbfounded Wells. Both of his long-fingered hands clamped down on Wells' notebook.
I have it!
Tanner snatched it boldly away, rolling and moving to one side on the table.
Damn you, Tanner! Give that back! Give it back,
Hush,
or I'll...
Wells! Before you cause me to fall in gales of laughter at your schoolboy predicament. Like all bullies, you cannot handle having the tables turned. You shall have your precious book, full of the damnable lies of my life and times, as filtered through your own corruptive sieve of an intellect. Shall we begin with the first page of our meeting?
Keeping the table between them, Doc opened the book and began to read.
Patient appears confused, baffled, uncertain of his surroundings. Perhaps the decision in choosing subject was hasty, since he shows no signs of open-mindedness or creative thinking. He seems fixated on one subject and one subject only, that being his family, his wife and children. This obsession must be circumvented before subject will be pliable enough for establishment of mission parameters.
Tanner, you shouldn't be reading that.
Subject. That's all I was to you then, and all I remain now. A subject. A test case. You could not even be bothered to write my name on these pages, nor the names of Emily, or Rachel, or dear little Jolyon. You could not even be bothered to remember the names of the lives you ruined, you despicable miscreant!
Now see here, Tanner, you settle down or I'll have to call in security.
Call them, you elephantine pile of excrement! Show them all what an ineffectual dung heap you really are!
Tanner happily tore one of the blue-lined pages from the book and crumpled it into a ball. He tossed the wadded paper and giggled darkly as it bounced off Wells' fat, damp forehead with a plop, landing on the tabletop.
That is one!
He pulled out a second sheet of the notebook and began to crush it between long, elegant fingers.
I do hope you utilized one of those photocopying devices I have heard about to make a second backup reproduction of your spurious observations and notes about me.
Pushed into a raging silence, Wells turned and ran to the lounge door, thumbing a wall communicator.
Security! I need security at once!
The goon squad wasn't long in coming, and the faceless men in their hooded white parkas and mirrored sunglasses made quick work subduing Tanner. One of them easily retrieved Wells' notebook from the smirking prisoner and handed it back, stone-faced, to the Kronos director.
Your property, sir.
Wells snatched it from the guard and gave a dismissive wave of his hand.
Keep two on hand to subdue Tanner. The rest of you may go.
Now that Tanner was helpless and held by the summoned security men,